Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyndale's the motion fullback leading Thurman Thomas, and the Bills are quickly on the board. Their first drive, they made it look easy against the Miami defense that time, ladies and gentlemen. Too easy.
That is the 1995 wild card matchup between the Bills and Dolphins. And the Bills ultimately win that game 37-22. They lead that game at one point 34-7 in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
They dominate them. Also, Tim Tyndale was in that highlight as mm-hmm. well. He had a 44-yard touchdown as well. Yeah. Not only did Thurman score a one-yard touchdown, Tim Tyndale scores a little bit later.
So, oddly enough, like in the Bills make it easy. Well, that is also been what's going on with this current regime.
Mm-hmm.
And, Zach and I both tweeted it out, what I ended up saying last segment and pointing out about a certain quarterback situation.
Yeah. And with that, I do want to start this off with our first guest of today, Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. And Sal, first, good morning. But also, there is a quarterback on the Dolphins roster that has two wins compared to two is one. Do you know who it is?
Oh, wow. two wins this year?
No, just two wins against the Bills in his career.
Oh, two wins against the Bills in his career. Well, geez, Mike White's gone, so it wouldn't be him anyway. Man, I'm trying to think. Zach Wilson.
Yep. Number zero for the Miami Dolphins. He technically, because he doesn't ultimately start that week one game where Rodgers gets hurt, but he technically has two wins. Tua is 1-8 in his career against the Bills.
And in addition, Zach Wilson has beaten the Bills more recently than Tua has.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you have to you go back to the game in New York where the Bills lost. Josh Allen was with Terrell Bernard was out that game, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the game? Josh Allen. Bills
week,
lost.
Week 9,
well,
2022.
Zach started
yeah.
that game, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and then what was the other one? Maybe one that didn't. What was the other Zach Wilson game?
That's the Rodgers one.
Yeah, the Rodgers one where he goes in.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I see what you're mm-hmm. saying. So, yeah, so one he started, one he didn't. But, yeah, he played in that game. You're right. Hey, listen, I mean, it's not – and I know we say Tua here, and, you know, I was on with the guys this morning, and I just think the Bills have figured out a good formula against him and this offense. They really have. It's an offense that relies on timing and rhythm. And I think Tua's a good quarterback. I think he's a much better quarterback when all those things are happening, though, right? And if they aren't, then he's going to struggle in a lot of regard. And the Bills have taken away those things that he relies on, that he needs to happen for him to be really successful. But when they are successful, they can be very dynamic. Even last year here in Buffalo, I mean, I went back and watched the game. Yes, last night, I went back and watched the game here in Buffalo last year where Tyler Bass hit the walk-off 61-yarder. And are close to walk-off, 61-yarder. And they had some success. I mean, they threw the ball down the field a little bit, and then they got the ball to their running backs in space, and the Bills had a tough time. So those kinds of things are what you have to watch out for this team tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Sal, on the offense, though, so Marcel Louis-Jacques of ESPN, he joined Shope and the Bulldog yesterday, and he brought up a really interesting point because I think many people on the outside – look at the Dolphins' culture as maybe like the biggest problem that they've got going on, right? Guys missing practice or showing up late to meetings, what have you. And Marcel brought up No, I think it's more people have started to really figure out the offense. And he looked to how Indianapolis, New England played them, taking away the first read from Tua, as you mentioned. You know, when things are going right, he's dialed in very accurate, what have you, and then also blitzing. And that's something the Bills have been able to do well. And even, I think, blitzing rate as well. The Bills have been up there this year compared to years past.
Yeah, and I would expect a little bit more of that tonight, especially considering both their right guard and right tackle who started the season are out. So they're kind of putting together the offensive line here, and you know that's to his blind side, right? Because he's a left-handed quarterback. So you could try to take advantage there. And they are blitzing a little bit more. The Bills want to dial up some pressure. When you have a loud stadium, communication is an issue. That also factors into maybe blitzing a little bit so they can't identify some rushers, where they're coming from to get those to get that communication going. But the danger of blitzing is you have a really fast receiver in Tyreek Hill and a really fast receiver in Jalen Waddle and get down the field. And when the danger is blitzing is you leave your guys in the back end exposed. And if they do catch you, they can have a big play. So you do have to think about that. The other part of it is, again, go back to last year, what they did. The Dolphins did a really good job of it in the screen game. If you're going to blitz and your guys are kind of coming up field, you throw it right over the top of, you know, a blitzer and a couple blitzers and you get it to a running back in space. Now you got a convoy and only a few guys to block. So there are dangers that come along with blitzing, but I think the Bills in this game need to just be aggressive on both sides of the ball early, because this is a team that you do not want to give life to. And I think they need to make it known by the middle of the first quarter, by halftime. Yeah, you're done. You're going to be 0-3 and you're going to want to just go home.
And Sal, on that, I mean, I mentioned this with the Jets too, with how their secondary played against Pittsburgh. Maybe the Bills want to go out and throw the ball, and they didn't really have all that much success early throwing the ball. It really was James Cook and also just the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball that really took that game away. But when you look at how injured the Dolphins secondary is, you do wonder at home, and like you mentioned, kind of you want to set the stage early. Could they go to the air and then try to like kind of run this game out and really just lean on this Dolphins team?
Yeah, I think that might be the path real quick, which is get after him early, throw the ball, take advantage of the secondary. The Dolphins they're near the bottom in the league. I believe I looked, and I wrote this in my preview column, WGR550.com. I don't have the number in front of me. I think maybe 29th or 28th in the league in yards per play given up per pass. Over 9. The Dolphins through 2 games have given up over 9 yards of passing play, which is an astronomical number. It's a small sample size. You're going to have those early in the season. But, guys, that's against Daniel Jones and Drake May.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, there's opportunity to throw the ball here against this team. And I think the Bills would love to do that. That being said, you know, you do have a good running game in Buffalo. You want to keep Josh Allen healthy. And if you can just kind of do that as well, of course, you know, that could be a path to victory. And for the Dolphins, they're going to want to run the ball. Yes, they could throw the ball to those guys we talked about, but what's the path for them? Run the ball, keep the ball out of Josh Allen's hands, make it a shorter game to not give the Bills that opportunity to take advantage of their secondary.
Sal, of course, heading into the night, we'll look at the injury report here, the Barnes Firm injury report. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Taron Johnson, Cam Lewis, Shaq Thompson, all questionable. No Matt Milano, no Ed Oliver again for the second straight game.
Yeah, and we knew Ed Oliver would be out after last week. It was considered a multi-week injury, so the Bills, you know, did a nice job with Zion Logue coming up from the practice squad. And just so everybody knows, the team has until 4 p.m. today to make elevations. Now, we might not even know it right at 4 p.m. It might not be until, like, after that, but they have to notify the league and file it by 4 p.m. today for any practice squad elevations. Obviously, you're going to get a defensive tackle. Is that Zion Logue again, or is it Jordan Phillips? Not sure, but someone's going to be elevated. They're not going to roll with 3. For Matt Milano, they could also decide to, you know, elevate somebody at linebacker, or if Shaq Thompson's able to play, you don't need to do that because you have Joe Andreessen, you have Shaq Thompson. But with Milano's injury, you know, it's getting to a point here where you have to be a little concerned, because Sean McDermott said there was a chance he could practice on Wednesday. He didn't. And then he said yesterday to me on his weekly radio interview, he said, you know, key with an injury like this is to see how things respond after, you know, a few days. Well, it's been a few days, and then see where it is next week. So not quite, you know, there where, oh my gosh, what's going on? Is it long-term? Here's the key though. If the Bills do not put Matt Milano on injured reserve by 4 p.m., I think that's a really encouraging sign, because that means that he'll be back within the next, you know, 4 games at the very minimum. Because if they feel that he's going to be out longer term, they would, I would think, want to use that roster spot as soon as possible and they would have to put him on IR by 4 p.m. today for this game to count as one of the minimum of four to be missed.
Sal Cabaccio here on the Wester Hotline. Sal, last time we talked, you did mention, like, you're somebody that really, your heart's in this rivalry, right? Like, me and Derek of our generation, it's New England's much more that team. For you, though, when you look at this, it's not official, but the way the season has started for the Dolphins and the way the season's going for the Bills, this very much could be the last time the Dolphins are in Highmark, this version of Highmark Stadium against the Bills. Has that really sat with you? And what's maybe your favorite memory of Bills-Dolphins in Highmark Stadium?
I've tried to let it sit with me. I think I've tried to really think about that a lot. I did a video earlier this week I posted with some of my Highmark, my Dolphins at Bills Highmark memories, Highmark Stadium memories, Rich Stadium, the Ralph, whatever you want to call it. Excuse me. And, I go back a long time watching these games. A game I was not at, but still a great memory or a bad memory, it's kind of both, is I grew up loving Jerry Butler. It's why I wore number 80 in high school. He was a Bills wide receiver. He was terrific. And is when receivers wore 80, right? Jerry Rice, Jerry Butler, Steve Largent. Jerry Butler was my favorite player growing up. In 1986, Jerry Butler caught a great touchdown pass in the end zone for the Bills. And on the same play against the Dolphins, his leg was broken and he never played again. That was his final game. It was against the Dolphins in 1986, final play. He catches a touchdown pass and a broken leg, and he never plays NFL football again. And that sticks with me as a Dolphins memory, right? I wasn't at that game, but that's a Dolphins memory. I was not at the game where Carwell Gardner and Brian Cox got into it fighting, and Brian Cox got ejected and was spitting on the field on his way out. And I do remember going to games, though, where Brian Cox coming out of the tunnel and people giving him all heck and him with the double bird salute and all that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, like, that's the rivalry that I remember. You guys played – the clip coming in 95, right? That game, that was just the Bills just blasted the Dolphins and they just went out. The Dolphins had no answer. It's Thurman Thomas. We call that the Tim Tyndale game, by the way, if you're my age. And Derek, look up the box score. There was another running back named Derek Holmes in that game who got off on them as well.
Yeah. 15 right? for 87.
That I remember. But then you have the shootouts, and you have, Dan Marino, Jim Kelly, 44-34 in the snow. And, obviously a great battle right there between the two. And, it just goes back a long way. And there's a lot of, I'll tell you, it was a loss. But I'm thinking back now that I've never even thought about this. It was a loss, but my wife's first ever Bills game was against the Dolphins.
Oh, wow.
She came up before we got married. She came up to, hang out in Buffalo, meet the family. And we went to the Bills-Dolphins game. I believe it was 2002. It was not a good day. The Bills lost that game, but that's my wife's first game.
I mean, would you look at that? The rivalry's there. It's not in Highmark Stadium, but for me at least, when I thought Allen had arrived, it's that game down in Miami where I think he throws for 400 yards. You got the John Brown touchdown where he does the windmill. I mean, there's a lot of connections for Bills Dolphins, of course, being the AFC East rivals. But, recently as well, it's sort of Derek mentioned it too. They break the drought because they beat the Dolphins down in Miami. Of course, Cincinnati has to do their part too, but that's the team they beat. There's a lot there to it. All right, Sal, we'll let you get out of here. You got a long day ahead of you, so we'll let you get out of here so you can maybe rest up, get your electrolytes going. It's going to be a long one, but it should be a good one.
You guys got it. Thanks a lot.
That was Sal Cabaccio there on the Wester Hotline. Sal will also be along for pregame as well with Shope and the Bulldog, which will be starting at 3 o'clock. It will be on video. Don't you worry, bullpen crazies. It will be on video. Me and G will be here in the studio, and then those two will be down at the stadium. So if you got time, if you're down there, go give it a check out. I think they're going to be around Lot 5. It's going to be near, I think, Ralph Wilson statue.
Right.
I think that's where they're going to be. So it should be a wonderful night.
It should be a good night. Please give me something of entertainment value here today, Dolphins. I know the Bills are going to do their part.
I got my entertainment value. I found out Zach Wilson has a better record versus the Bills than Tua.
You're welcome. I'm good.
I'm welcome.
My hatred for the Bills losing to Zach Wilson inexplicably twice in their lives has fueled enough fire for me to actually have found this stat.
So I also did some digging as well just to kind of point out where the Dolphins are. Like as an organization and how far they've fallen. We all know the undefeated stuff, and we know where they were really initially when the NFL as we know it, got going. The early Super Bowl wins in 72 and 73. With that being said, though, the last time they won a Super Bowl, the best picture winner at the Oscars was The Sting, a movie I have never heard of.
Same.
In 1973. In 1972, it was The Godfather.
I've heard of that one.
Heard of that one. Their last playoff win comes in 2000.
Hang
against
on.
The Colts.
I want to include Joe Calley on this one real quick. Of, do you know the top box office movie in 2000 when you were very much not alive,
ooh,
by the way?
Ooh. Highest grossing movie in 2000?
Yeah.
Shrek.
I think it's 2002.
I respect that guess.
Did it come out in 2002?
I think it's 2002.
I thought it was earlier.
I'm going to double check that while Zach gives
Toy
you
Story,
the answer.
Toy Story was like 1999. That was before
you
I was
were
born.
Close. 2001.
I knew it was before I was born.
All right. Well, I don't have the highest grossing movie of 2000. I do have the best picture winner.
Mm-hmm.
That is Gladiator, which we've just recently got a sequel for after 20 years. It's been 23 years since they've won a playoff game. Gladiator wins the best picture the year they do that against an early Peyton Manning.
I've got the 2000 movie.
I have it as well.
I don't have a guess. I wish I had a guess. I don't have one.
All right. How should we give them this?
Because it's not The Phantom Menace, so it's not Star Wars.
No, it's not, because that came out in 1999.
It's not Titanic.
It's not Titanic. I will tell you the best domestic grossing movie was How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Yep, with Jim Carrey.
That's what I thought it was, right?
That's domestic.
Okay. I don't know the other one.
Worldwide, it was Mission Impossible 2.
Oh.
Really?
Cool.
Yes.
They're still making those. That's awesome.
Well, they actually just finished making those.
No, they're going to make spinoffs. Come on. What are we kidding here?
It's just they have been.
It's now Mission Possible.
You know, as fun as tonight will be, and we just went through some of the memories there with Sal, the Dolphins have really been in such a bad spot for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills go through a 17-year playoff drought.
Right.
And they end up winning a playoff game before the Dolphins do.
Yep.
In that same period.
And the Jets currently in the midst of a 13-year playoff drought. They have gone to several AFC championship appearances.
For as bad as they've been.
For as bad as they've been. The Jets have been there to the AFC championship before Miami has. And it is just, it's tough to see it like that. But at the same time, yeah, I don't really feel bad for the Dolphins.
No, I find it's nice to look at that. You know, the last time they were really relevant in the NFL, The Godfather and The Sting are winning Best Picture nominations.
And the last time they won a playoff game, Mission Impossible 2 was raking in money.
Like, the best way I can put it too, Rocky's not a movie yet. It has its own spinoff that has done three movies itself.
Radio's Joe Calley wasn't alive the last time they won a playoff game. The whole world has changed.
I mean, like
it changed.
That's how long it's been since they've been a really relevant organization in the NFL. And they've had blips and moments, don't get me wrong. Dan Marino was their quarterback in the 80s and 90s. But in terms of them winning a Super Bowl, Rocky's not a thing yet. It comes out in 76.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you mentioned The Sting. That has Robert Redford in it.
I've never heard of that movie. Mm-hmm. And it wins Best Picture and it has Robert Redford in it? I've never heard of it. Now I'm going to have to watch it.
There you go.
I mean, not tonight. I am very busy today.
Why? What's going on?
things are happening. Not tonight.
Why? What's going on?
803-0550, the number to call. Vibe check for tonight. Bold predictions as well. Love to hear your thoughts as Bills will be taking on the Miami Dolphins tonight for Thursday Night Football. If you're outside of the Buffalo TV market, there we go, baby. There we go. If you're outside of the Buffalo TV market, it is going to be, of course, an Amazon Prime game. But here locally, you also can listen to the game on GR and, of course, your local channels as well. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Good snap.
Good hold. Good kick.
And the
slide into the postseason for the fourth straight year.
Ah, Dolphins Day. Happy game day, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging out here. Hour number two of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, which is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I'm really enjoying, Derek. I'm really enjoying going through some of these Dolphin stats and just kind of roasting them a little bit.
My Zach Wilson tidbit really has got you fascinated, doesn't it? My hatred for the Bills losing to Zach Wilson has given you a statistic.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That you are just in love with.
It's incredible. It is astounding. It is astounding. Tua is not a bad quarterback.
And like, it is astounding that they've lost to Zach Wilson twice.
It's much more like that's the perfect stat if it's a team game. That does not stop it from being hysterical.
It tells you that QB wins should never be a stat.
Right. Like, it might be the perfect exemplifier of that. Of like, yeah, Zach Wilson has two wins against the Bills. Tua has one. You've watched them both play the sport. Right. Doesn't change it from being super funny. Does not change that for
right.
people.
And it keeps the fascination.
Yeah. And then now this whole thing that I've got going, you know, the last time the Dolphins won a playoff game, the 2000 year, they win the wild card game against the Colts. Gladiator wins best picture at the Oscars. That stat's going to hit way harder when their rebuild happens.
And then the highest grossing film is Mission Impossible 2.
They made like 19 more of those.
You're not wrong.
Gladiator had a basically a legacy sequel 20 years later.
What, are you not entertained?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I just had someone tweet in over 9,000 days since their last playoff win.
Wow.
Oof.
You want to make a stat sound painful, add a comma to it.
Add a comma to it. 803-0550, the number to call. Thoughts on tonight's game. Bills will be hosting the Miami Dolphins for Thursday night football to get week three underway. We'll go back to the phones here. Joe is with us next up. Joe, how we doing?
Hey, what up, boys? Let's go. I'm ready for a Bills victory tonight, but wanted to just give a quick stat that I heard. It was on X.
Joe, did we lose you?
327, oh, right? And the first week, the Patriots made Daniel Jones look, you know, like an amazing QB. Mm-hmm. And so the Patriots previously, from what I understand, had not scored 30 or more points in a football game since 2022, before last week.
Oh, my goodness.
So they haven't broke the 30-point mark. And I'm not sure how many times the Bills have done that, but I think the Dolphins' defense is just hapless, and I think this is an opportunity for Buffalo to just run them out of the stadium. I'm not sure if they'll let McDaniels on the plane on the way home, to be honest with you. Never want to see a guy lose his job, but in this case, I think I do, because it could be pretty bad for Miami tonight. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
And I'm going through this now. I think Joe was right. I think Joe was right on this stat. New England had not scored over 30 points week six. I'm seeing, just real quick, week six of 2022, they put up 38 against the Cleveland Browns. That's incredible. I have not really been able to sit too much with all of these Miami Dolphins games, but that's kind of the prevailing thought I'm getting from everyone, is that just how bad the defense is. That's the prevailing thought I'm getting from everyone.
And seven of those points is special teams on a kick return right after Miami takes the lead on a punt return touchdown. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, oh, my God. Yeah, it is October 16th of 2022. What a magical year that was. And the Bills lose to Tua and Zach Wilson, and Miami and New England scores 30 points for the last time until this past Sunday.
Absolutely incredible. Also, because Joe mentioned, I don't know how much necessarily the Bills are scoring 30 points. That is what they averaged last year on offense. Was exactly 30.9 points per game. Again, that's last year. But
oh, my goodness, you're right.
In case you were wondering, through two games this year, they're averaging 35.5. That defense is bad. That defense is bad. And we were just talking with Sal about
it. And against the Bills, they've always been bad.
Right. It exemplifies all their issues. They don't get home.
Sometimes the offense keeps up. Bad.
Yep.
But Miami's defense very rarely ever shows up.
And Sal brought it up too, and I can understand that as well. Like it's a divisional game. The offense, as you mentioned just right there, the offense can keep up, the screen game, what have you. The Bills have injuries of their own. Matt Milano and Ed Oliver. It's going to have to be a big game from guys like Dorian Williams. And if you do blitz a lot, like the Dolphins have been shown susceptible to, you could leave Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle wide open down the field. And to be fair, I think all of us still are very worried about the safety position. I cannot see a world in which the Bills do fall into a trap game with a division rival, with the team that has, in many aspects, been the one chasing them, been the one giving them the biggest fight. I just can't see it. You have a chance to really put the nail in the coffin. Put your biggest rival away.
And not to mention, really, end a regime.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the last 9 years, Chris Greer has done some irreparable damage to that organization.
Yeah, I can't see the Bills taking this game lightly. And to be fair, that's one of the positives I'll always give Sean McDermott. We took a call too, mentioning how often do they really fall into trap games? I can mention a few, but they're a few years ago. Now they're very good at they close out games last year with sort of this new age. It was their retool year, right? They really don't fall into any of those. All of their losses are very close and arguably to very good teams.
And in 2023 was a bit of a mess of a season for them. Mm-hmm. There's not many things that you'd call trap games at that point when you're sitting at 6-6.
Right. They just overall had a really rough season until the end.
Until they bring it back from 6-6.
But the trap games I'm thinking of.
But what do they do, though? That last game, they win the division snagging it from Miami.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah,
it always comes back to how underwhelming the Dolphins are against the Bills.
Mm-hmm. I'm more excited just because, again, it's Dolphins game and the day got started, and I was like, you know what, I'm jazzed up, I'm ready to go. And some of these stats I've had a lot of fun with. For me, it's just seeing how far the Dolphins have fallen away from the Bills. There was a time, we've brought it up a lot over this week, that 70-point game, there was a time people thought, here they come. And to be fair, there was a point in time, I don't know if anyone was comparing Mike McDaniel to Bill Walsh, may have happened, I certainly didn't do it. But there was a time where you went, that's the best offensive mind in football. That's how you should be building your teams. Fast receivers, speed, go, 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 go. And it ended in a fortnight. It didn't even last a month.
It lasted a week.
Yeah.
Because the Bills put them down.
It's just, but there was a time. And they have just fallen from grace. I mean, again, like you said, it lasts really a week. But how quickly it all of a sudden was like, yeah, but they can't play in the cold. They're a very soft defense. Vic Fangio essentially is making fun of them on the way out. Goes and wins the Super Bowl the next year after he leaves.
Not to mention, coordinator. That Bills 48-20 win. A lot of pregame, the vibes were, and I remember this, a lot of the pregame vibes were, yeah, Miami might score points, but so will Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop the Bills.
Absolutely. That was the exact thought for almost everybody.
And that's exactly what happens. In the first two quarters, it is punch for punch. Buffalo would score, Miami would score. Buffalo would score, Miami would score. And it kept going until all of a sudden it doesn't. The first time Miami blinks is in the second quarter. And they kick a field goal, and then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills keep going en route to 48-20. Miami scripts really worked. Their first two drives on offense were great. The minute Miami had to go off script, it was over. And their fun in the sun lasted 7 days.
And it looks like it's going to be a long time before that's back. Back to the phones. John is with us next up. John, how are we doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well.
Go Bills. I just wanted to – I loved the Jackson Hawes talk earlier.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to talk about – and I know he's so new. You don't really know what you have. Like, I don't know if you guys – how close you guys look at the PFF rating type stuff, but I'm pretty high on that. I know that's those grades are pretty looked at by the by teams and around the league. But at what point do you think – and I love Kincaid. I love the guy. You know, team player, locker room guy. Seems like. At what point do you think you would rather have a guy like Hawes? You know, big blocking tight end, can really help out in the run game. Maybe not as strong downfield, but you know, maybe you can work on that as years go by. But I don't know. Like I said, I love Kincaid, but what point do you think you would rather have a guy like Hawes over maybe a more talented guy like Kincaid? I don't know, just
John. Let me ask you this, because I think I'm right on this, but I want to make sure, because you mentioned you're big on the PFF grades. Hawes right now is their highest graded tight end, not just rookie,
like their highest. Right, he's their highest grade. I know he had that big catch in the first game. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just think you can maybe teach the downfield aspect, like the quick out routes, the catching aspect. You can, you know, work on the hands and stuff. That can be worked on. But something that the blocking can obviously be worked on too. But he's just such a big dude. Like, he can move some guys around, and then. You know, you just look at the bigger tight ends that have had success over the course of the last 40, 50 years, and usually they're more of like the, I don't know, just bigger guys that can block really well and then go out for a catch and run for, you know, 20, 30 yards. He's a guy that, like, nobody's really looking in at stopping Jackson Hawes. Teams look at Kincaid and are like, we got to take this guy out of the game because they know he's talented. But if you can have a guy like him, I don't know. I just like Jackson Hawes a lot. That's all.
Yeah, John, thanks for the call. I'll say this. The Bills adore him. I was able to go to one training camp practice, and I was able to be on the sideline and kind of watch everything. And before the practice really got going, I was able to sit and just watch Rob Boris, the Bills tight end coach, work with the tight end room. You could tell there how much they like Hawes. I will say, patience with him. He is the best blocking tight end the team says that they've ever scouted. Anyone that talks about Hawes is like, the blocking. His big catch, the 29-yarder, it's great. He almost drops it.
Twice.
He has to bobble it twice. And there is sort of this maturation period. I will say, though, and I am already starting to have these thoughts because of how good of a blocker he is, next year he's overtaking Dawson Knox.
And that was the thing. The caller forgets the wrong name, really, on this one.
It's not really Kincaid.
It's not Kincaid. It's Knox.
It's Knox. I think we're getting to that point. He will surpass Knox, maybe even in this year. I think definitely going into next year. What is maybe going to be fun, though, to really keep an eye on for him, if that passing game does develop,
then they've got an interesting pick from the six.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Round.
And to be fair, fifth or sixth round.
Fifth round, yes, excuse me.
But where he's at now already, Derek, they already trust him so much. He had 35 snaps against the Jets. He had 16 against Baltimore. He's already getting involved. I mean, they run that three tight end set all the time, and it's working for them. I mean, he's already taken Alec Anderson.
The way Hawes is – yeah, exactly. The way Hawes is blocking, you don't need to send an extra offensive lineman out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the interesting part, and that's the part that I want to see continue. And again, to your point there, John, you're using the wrong name, really. It's not about Kincaid. It's about Knox because he carries a far bigger cap hit than the Bills should be comfortable with to keep going into in further years. So maybe you try to get rid of Knox next season. But that's next year's problem. Let's worry about that then. I'm just enjoying what Jackson Hawes can do blocking right now and appreciating the art of that in the moment. And I'd imagine they're going to use him a good amount here tonight against Miami.
Yeah, I know the morning guys with their four-leg parlay, they took part in the Jackson Hawes last touchdown score, which should be fun. I took any time. The Bills love him.
A last touchdown is a violent gesture.
That's so good. But the Bills do love him. They're using him a good bit for a fifth-round rookie going into his third game. I could see it where, yeah, it's just, dude, you've been doing great. We want to get you a touchdown. We want to get you out there. Look at Alec Anderson. He has touchdowns. They've done the big man touchdowns at the goal line.
And this is easier.
This is easier because he's a tight end. You don't have to actually like come up with like this crazy scheme to get him going.
I don't need to do the report eligible thing. Nope, he's wearing 85.
He's ready to go. And then, well, we'll make jokes that he bobbled it twice.
He caught it.
In a moment, when they're storming back, he comes up with a massive catch. He's been great for them. And it's crazy. I mean, like, initially when they drafted him out of Georgia Tech, like, you kind of laugh a little bit, and you're like, oh, yeah, best blocking tight end. That's great. But it has allowed them now to really revamp their – and they loved Alec Anderson last year. They still do. But it's allowed them to do different things, I think, also in many ways do things easier. Now that they don't have to have a guy report as eligible and stuff like that. They run these three tight end sets. They do love their tight end room. You're getting a lot out of them. I will say, though, Knox, two drops on Sunday, that's not really good. And that's where we do point out that maybe sooner rather than later, you're ultimately going to see Hawes overtake Knox in the lineup. Because he maybe offers you more. Kincaid is their kind of out-and-out receiver tight end. I mean, the moment they drafted him, they kind of acknowledged that's what he does. And, like, you should look at him more as a receiver, which was kind of brave because if he really hit, like, straight away 1,000 yards, guys, I wouldn't say that. In negotiations, he'll want to be paid like a receiver. Just a word of advice. maybe don't say
maybe
that.
Maybe don't do that.
Maybe don't do that. But they're getting pretty good stuff out of all three of their tight ends. It's really helped their running game as well. I mean, you're seeing the stats last week, yards before contact, that James Cook had. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how they've been able to build out that offensive line, continuing into also their tight end room as well. 803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. We'll be right back. Get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. The Sabres were on the practice ice tonight. Pucks arrived a little late. But they got there. I don't think they actually arrived late.
I'm not ready for this. Don't do this to me.
Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. We'll be right back. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we get you off to Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. This will be the last time we're on air before the game tonight. We'll be on afterwards for the overtime show.
Boy, will we. If you're awake at 1:30 a.m.,
Good on you.
Not even just good on you. We'll be here.
So with that, some predictions for tonight. Don't necessarily have to be a score prediction, but I mean, I think we both kind of acknowledge we think that this could really be a butt whooping. The Bills could cover that 11.5-point spread.
And I keep coming back to the question, it cannot be this easy again, right? And I think my prediction is going to be no. It won't be.
Mm-hmm.
Because the weird part about it is that Miami can cover and it's still healthily a two-score game.
Right. They could cover and lose by 10.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I also think that's what's going to happen. Anyone taking the Bills with the points against, I might have bad news for you. But I think it's that the Bills will win by 10. But it'll also be like a comfortable 10 where you're not like worrying at any point. It's not like the Ravens kind of thing,
right,
where you're like terrified of them choking. No, I think it'll be a comfortable sort of thing. Miami might pick something up a little later, like a garbage time thing to catch up. But so mostly it'll be like a 17-point game for most of the contest, and then they score and it turns into a 10-point game. Looks a little healthier than it would have been throughout the contest is probably how I predict this to swing off. I also thought Bills-Ravens was going to be a low-scoring game.
That's right, yeah. Well, I don't know if I thought that was going to be a low-scoring game. Not 41-40. I did not anticipate that. I wonder tonight, too, you know, where the Bills go on offense. I thought that they could have gone more to the air against the Jets, and that actually really did not work out well for them. The Jets really were keying in on it. It was really tough sledding early in that game, and the defense really kind of breaks the game open in James Cook. Tonight, though, I think it's maybe going to be the same game plan. We talked with Sal and mentioned, like, the Bills are probably going to want to, you know, assert the dominance early in the game, really kind of decide how this game will be played middle of the first quarter, end of the first quarter. And with how injured the secondary is for the Dolphins, I don't want to say they could do that easily. I'm looking, though, at a guy like Josh Palmer, maybe having, like, his breakout game for the Bills. Get the ball out quick, get him going. He hasn't had bad stat lines by any means. Pretty good against Baltimore, had nearly the game-clinching catch. Keon Coleman gets one right after him, but he was 5 for 61 last week. I think it's leading the Bills in receiving yards.
He does lead the Bills in receiving yards.
Yeah, it's only 2 for 47. I think we could see tonight maybe gets his debut touchdown for the Bills. I don't want to say he's going to have 10 catches. It's not realistic, but like 6-7, and they're able to really lean on him, Keon, Shakir, early.
I was actually going to mention Keon here over Josh Palmer, and that be really where the lead up comes into this. I think it's going to be a return to a nice little statistical line for Keon Coleman. If not for that OPI that was kind of ticky-tack last week, Coleman probably leads the team in receiving yards again, and he's trying to put games together and put it consistently together. This would be that again. You know, try to stack more games up against each other, especially if you can take advantage of bad matchups. Dolphins are not a good matchup. The Saints are not a good matchup. Can you take advantage of and exploit these a little bit before the Bills go run heavy in this sort of situation? I would like to see that from Keon Coleman. I don't know if I'm going to predict which receiver leads the way today. But, again, it's not like this is a bad opportunity for some statistical lines to look a little prettier after tonight. The one thing I know that the Bills do is they score points against Miami, and they will continue to do so. Mm-hmm. It's the defense, no Ed Oliver, no Matt Milano. Milano on the first two plays of the Jets game last week stuffs them and kind of sets the tone of, no, this isn't Baltimore. We're in your backfield. Who becomes that player on defense tonight to set that tone?
Right, and then Shaq Thompson, Taron Johnson, Cam Lewis, also questionable. Should also be noted, though, Benito Jones, Chop Robinson on the Dolphins' defense are both questionable. Chop Robinson, arguably their best edge rusher, and then Jaylen Waddle as well. If he can't go tonight, I mean, what are they supposed to do? Tyreek is great, but Tyreek on the Dolphins has not been Tyreek on the Chiefs when playing the Bills. Waddle at least adds a little bit more of a dimension there, shoulder injury. He was limited Tuesday and Wednesday, but he picked it up seemingly during the week. And then, of course, they've already got Storm Duck out. Another one of their safeties is out. That secondary is very, very limited to what maybe they'd want to be at this point. We'll see, though, where it ends up going. That's going to do it for me and Derek. Sabres Live coming up next, as the Sabres did get on the ice today. Training camp was, in all realistic sense, started yesterday. General Manager Kevin Adams and Head Coach Lindy Ruff did speak with the media. If you missed those yesterday, you can find them on the Odyssey app or on our website, WGR550.com. But more on the Sabres coming up next. Sabres Live, this is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.